Om Shanti and good morning. In one school, there was drawing class going on, and the teacher got so fascinated to see a small girl engrossed in drawing something. So the teacher, very much intrigued to see a girl who is otherwise not very much interested in any of the classes, this time is drawing something very much with rapt attention. So the teacher went to that girl and asked, "What are you drawing?" That 6-year-old girl said, "I am drawing the picture of God." The teacher said, "But nobody knows how the God look like." The girl said, "They will know in minutes. They will know in minutes once I draw the picture." That was her conviction. That was her faith that whatever picture of God she would draw, that would be the picture of God. And each one of us have drawn a picture of God within ourselves. How is that picture? That picture is sometimes that of a father, a friend, mother, or a child, or a preceptor, or a teacher, or sometimes the divine beloved. How do we see Him? What is our picture of God? And how much we believe in that picture? This is a question everyone must ask ourselves, oneself, that what is my picture of God and how much I believe in it? This thirst to know God, this thirst to understand Him, this thirst, as in today's Avyakta Murli, in the morning Baba said, to accept and to get merged in the love of God. This is what is wanted. One is to go and to listen to Him, to see Him and to listen to Him. But another is to accept and to get drowned, to get merged in that love of God. That is what Baba wants. So what is my picture of God? What is my picture of Baba? And how is this divine love for me? And to what extent is the deep thirst within me to know Him, to understand Him, to get merged in Him? In fact, the very basic desire of every humankind is union. But then he doesn't know the real union, and which is with the divine. And that's why he keeps on searching that union at the physical platform, which is often met with frustration, or it becomes addictive, and he can sometimes never come out of it. But there is another platform which is non-physical, which is spiritual, which is metaphysical, which is platonic. And at that platform, when the divine union takes place with the divine beloved, the soul really is satisfied. The soul really reaches that level of fulfillment. And that thirst is in each one of us. A small child tells his mother at the time of sleeping, "Mother, please wake me up when I get hungry. I am sleeping. Please wake me when I would feel hunger. The mother says, I need not to wake you. The hunger itself will wake you up. I need not to wake you if you sleep. If you are really hungry, that hunger itself will wake you up. How far is that hunger within us? In the path of devotion, they say, there is only one thing which is needed to realize God, and that is restlessness. That is intense desire to know Him, to understand Him. How intense is our desire to achieve perfection? How intense is our desire to really lead the spiritual life? At some point or other, we got this jnana and we started moving ahead. But what is the intensity? Or that intensity is lost somewhere whilst walking. In each one's heart, there is a divine lover hidden. And that divine lover is not satisfied with anything of this world. No human bond, no human love can ever satisfy that love. That love is satisfied only by the love from the above. In my own life, when I look back, I realize that I was introduced to the love of God by few people. And there was no source except books and spiritual gatherings happening around. And long back, I realized that the divine love was born in me when I was very young, maybe 16 year old. And there was a very tattered book which was just lying in our home. The name of the book was Love of God by Saint Francis de Sales. So that book came in my hand and I started reading it. And I realized how intense is the love of God. How this man is loving God like anything. He is describing that love of God. And he is so restless to receive the divine lover. He is saying that I am the bride and he is the groom. And why that groom is not coming, and I am ready for him, and when he will come, and my heart is pierced with his love, and it is bleeding. In very poignant words, the author was describing his love for God. And suddenly I realized, this is also one love. Love with somebody who is invisible. Love is somebody who is above all. Love is some love which is absolutely selfless. Can such a love also exist? And I began my search. And during that search, it was a spiritual gluttony, intense desire. And that made me a voracious reader, trying to explore each and every philosophy of this world, trying to understand each and every spiritual man of this world, Eastern and Western, trying to penetrate into the lives of all great men, trying to penetrate into the lives of saints, prophets, devotees, philosophies, atheists, theists, and everything that was available. And the only reason was to understand What is this love? And how can I also become somebody who has fallen in love with God? And what does it feel like to be a divine lover? And how does it feel like to get intoxicated? In today's Avyakta Murli, three words have come. Spiritual pride, spiritual self-respect, and spiritual intoxication. Do you have the intoxication that God loves you? You are yogis, you are cooperative souls, you are loving souls. You are those who are loved by God, and that's why the world loves you. Baba has used all these words. So when I was in that period of search, I felt I must also reach this platform of divine love, of loving God above all. We have tested enough of this world, and we have tested enough of the material love, and that has always met with some or other sort of frustration or disenlightenment. So there is always a desire in the heart to love the highest, to know the highest, to achieve the highest. So we are very fortunate children of Baba that we got this love as property, as Baba said in today's Murli. The devotees are thirsty for a drop of love. Even the other people, they want love. They don't want money. Money they want later on. But first, they want love. And whatever love that we get from humans, that's limited. That cannot be unlimited. When Mahatma Gandhi was in Africa, he wrote a letter to one saint of India, and he told him that here I found one couple, and the lady, the wife, loves the husband so much, I have never seen such love before. And that saint of India, somewhere in Gujarat, in Baroda, Raja Chandra, he wrote back, "What is there in this love? Have you seen a servant also loving and devoted to the masters? So I don't see much difference. Even this love of the servant for the master is much, much greater and bigger than the love for that wife to her husband. So why are you so attracted? I don't see much difference." And Mahatma Gandhi wrote, "That was really a big revelation to me, that I was seeing that this love alone is the biggest love. But there are so many other people in the world who love each other or even more, in more intensity." So he said, "I was little disillusioned." So this is what worldly love is. And to have experience of divine love, to have deep experience of divine love, needs some preparation. Divine love is not so cheap that each and every soul can get so easily. Though on the surface, today Baba said, every one of you Baba loves, but then deeper experiences demand deeper renunciation. The greater the price, the greater the effort should be. So without that, one cannot achieve that higher level of love. So today's topic is awakening the divine lover within. In each one of us, there is somebody who is sitting and who wants to love God alone and none else. And there is somebody who is sitting within us who is dissatisfied, distraught with anything of this world. And there is somebody, the inner voice that says, seek Him, remember Him, follow Him, just gets lost in Him. What is that experience of getting lost in the love of God? Has any one of you got that experience of getting totally drowned in Him without any worldly thought, without any thought of the world, just as if we are drowned and we are lost in that ocean? You can look back and see, what are those moments of my life where I was so much lost in His love that everything which is outside, all the consciousness of the world is gone? Can such an experience take place? And that would be the real experience of timelessness, bodylessness, egolessness, where even the time is stopped and the soul feels as if it's soaked in some other world. Just as that Alice goes into that wonderland and forgets this world, and she is introduced to a new world of new creatures, in a similar manner, the soul, when it enters the wonderland of God's love, it is introduced to new experiences, divine understandings of many things. In today's Avyakta Murli, Baba said, this divine love helps you become Mayajit. This divine love helps you become conqueror of all the obstacles. This divine love helps you to become embodiment of solutions. And this divine love helps you to remain unaffected in the face of any circumstance. These are the four words, four statements Baba has made. Very strong, each one of them. One is to fight with Maya. Another is to become Mayajit, conqueror of Maya, just by with this divine love. One is to overcome obstacle by using our intellect, knowledge, understanding, wisdom. But another is, just with the help of divine love, you overcome all the obstacles. One is to solve any problem by seeking counseling or searching answers here and there. Another is to get lost in divine love and you become embodiment of solution. One is to use all the jnana to keep us stable or to keep us protected from all the onslaughts of Maya or upheavals. But yet another point, another way is to get lost in this love. So what is my experience of divine love? How much, to what extent I am lost in that love? Have I tasted this nectar? If yes, then everything of this world would appear tasteless. And if the world still attracts me, if the worldly joy and sense gratification still pulls me, it means I have not tasted this divine love. Because the soul who has tasted this divine love, for him this world as it finishes, it doesn't remain. The person is in the same world, yet the world is not in him. And that stage is known as angelic stage. You are here, but you are not here. You are talking, and yet you are not talking. You are working, and yet you are not working, as if a divine force is pulling, is making you move. You speak, and yet you do not. That's an angelic stage. So I was telling, first I was introduced to this divine love when I was reading that book, Love of God, and I realized the intensity of love. And I decided that I also want to love God like this. But where to search Him? And I started searching Him here and there, running from pillar to post, trying to fathom the depth of spirituality. So in the course of journey, I was introduced to many of the saints, and I found that each one of them loved God so much. And then ultimately I landed here. And I realized all those saints, they all are here. It is the rebirth of those saints. Ultimately they reach this place. Their divine love of birth after birth has borne fruit, and they ultimately achieved the highest. But now, whilst continuing this path of spiritual life, one checking point is, has my love got stuck somewhere? Is it increasing every day? The way I loved Baba yesterday, is it the same today or it has increased? The way I had my Amrit Vela experience, is it the same today or it has intensified today? So each day, the divine love should progress. Each day, the divine lover should beat new experiences. Each day should be a new day for the divine lover who is within us. And it is found more often than not that this lover gets bored with the same monotonous things of Brahmin life, and that's why there is a need of newness in this love also. And that's why Baba says, experience me, feel me, and forge all relationships with me. Not just one relationships. Get connected with me with all different relationships. Use me. Make me your friend and I'll help you. Make your mother. Make me your mother. Make me your child. Make me your father. Make me your preceptor. Make me your guide, your coach. One of the best relationships with Baba is guide. How many of you have tried that relationship? That you are not understanding what to do? And then you sit in front of Baba and tell him, Baba, please guide. I'm not really understanding what to do in life. I'm at the crossroad. Which way to go? You know, the divine help will come. The divine guidance, the divine providence will provide divine guidance. But only thing is that one must surrender. Totally, unconditionally, absolutely. Whenever you are in two minds, going to Baba and just sitting and handing over everything to Him. But what we do, we really don't hand over things to Him. Just as a girl is there and she is playing with a toy and the toy got broken and she tries to mend it but she is not able to, and then she finds God is sitting, so she goes to God and tells Him, please try to correct this, mend this. And the God tries to do it and she says, oh, don't do this that way, put it other way. And when God is doing again, she says, oh, what are you doing? Is it the way to be done? Do it other way. Do it this way. Do it that way. At long last, God says, take your toy. You only do what you want to do. That is not the handing over. Thy will shall be done means you hand over everything to Him. Now don't put your desires, your opinions. Let Him desire. Just become a channel. A channel. Once there's a story in Brahma Baba's life. He got up at 2 o'clock and he went to that hut which you saw in Pandavan, which is in Pandavan, and he asked that security person to immediately bring a paper and book, paper and pen. This is the experience narrated by that security person. So that person went and brought pen and paper, and Baba started writing a letter to some mother probably. And after 2 days, a letter came in Pandav Bhavan, and that mother was saying, Baba, thank you for your letter. Actually, 2 days back, at the same time, 2 a.m. in the morning, I was in severe excruciating pain, and medical care was not available. It was far away. I was not understanding what to do. I just started remembering Baba. Baba, please do something. And that very moment, Baba got the touching, and he, at 2 o'clock, started writing to that mother, and she replied back after 2 hours. What is this? Pain is there, but she surrendered her pain, even the pain. That's a great task. If one is having physical malady, even to hand over those physical maladies or illnesses or sicknesses to Baba, to God, that's a great stage of surrender. We as doctors in hospital, we see hundreds and hundreds of BKs, and they come to us with many of their problems, physical problems and physical illnesses. And the real test of a yogi is at the time, during the time of illness. When there is an excruciating pain, all the gyan vanishes somewhere. Nothing stays. Person becomes irritable. Nothing remains. That's what we have seen. But yes, there are some souls who are very much tolerant, very, very, even in that stage of extreme discomfort, they are so stable, so calm. Both things are there. Both varieties are there. There are others who are so sensitive, they have been talking about and giving lectures about power of tolerance. And now, when they have to give only a single prick, and they will scream and shout like anything. You know, that is our experience which we see every day. Where has gone that power of tolerance? Even physical tolerance. We have seen dadis, many dadis, how tolerant they were. Not many dadis got admitted here. And they left the mortal coil also. And we have seen, you give them prick here, you know, those veins are papery skin, very difficult to take any line. And even if you get, after 1 hour, it is out. Then you take another line. I remember Dadi Janki, few years back, was very critically ill. And I was accompanying her. We were in Mumbai, and she was bleeding profusely. Extensive tests were done. Extensive. No diagnosis could be made. Every procedure was repeated. Nothing was... They could not clinch the diagnosis. And then her hemoglobin was dropping. It had become 6. And blood transfusions were going on one side. On another side she was bleeding. And they were putting her to a battery of tests. Every test was done twice, every procedure was done twice, but to no avail. And she was suffering. But we saw, she was thinking about giving class in Om Shanti Bhavan. I was really looking at her. She is bleeding. And she was thinking of, which party has come in Madhuban, and double foreigner must have come, and I want to meet them in Gyan Sarovar. And she was having these thoughts, and ultimately a time came when the bleeding could not be stopped. Ultimately we all sat together, took the decisions, no, whatever will happen, let it happen in Madhuban. We are not going to keep her here. We brought her to the airport. In the airport also she was bleeding. And we brought her back to Shantivan. And when she reached Shantivan, the whole car It was in blood. And then she was in her home and then she felt so okay. And within 2 days, her bleeding stopped. And she gave her blood there only and she was alright within 3 days. And on the 5th day, she was in Diamond Hall giving class. So that was the divine miracle. And that was the divine miracle of God, I will say. She is a standing challenge to medical field. I remember also once I had gone to some conference in Delhi and the Banasi Bhai, he called me, "What are you doing there? Dadi is not well, please come back." I said, "I am in the middle of the conference. It's an international conference which is going on, medical conference." He said, "Forget that conference, come back." So I left the conference and I was back. And Dadi was not well at all. Whole night she was not comfortable. I reached around 10 o'clock. And when I reached the cottage, I was told she is in Diamond Hall giving the class. So that's how she behaves. That's why I said she is a standing challenge. What touching she gets within. There was once a program in London. I don't know what program it was, but they had made a big hoarding and it was written there that Dadi Janki loves God in that big poster. They had written. So one senior Indian brother had gone there and he saw that poster and he said, rather than writing like this, they should write, rather than writing that Dadi Janki loves God, they should write other way around. God loves Dadi Janki. And why he loves her so much? Because a life of sacrifice. Because of life of renunciation. The one who has given up everything for him. Then only the blessings of God are showered, otherwise not. So if you want to become like this, you also have to follow them. In Him we live, move and have our being. So there is a divine lover within us. And who is sleeping, let's awake that lover. Let that lover seek the highest love. And what are the ways to wake up this lover? You know, you have heard of Kumbhakaran? Who was he? Anybody? Brother of Ravan. And what else? What he used to do? What was his favorite occupation? What he used to do? He used to sleep. 6 months he used to sleep and then he used to wake up. So his favorite vocation, job, hobby, habit was to sleep. Now, if you know Ramayana, they tried various methods to make him get up. Okay. When that sleeping Ravana, or the sleeping Kumbhakarna, they tried various methods to wake this Kumbhakarna. Have you seen that picture of Ravana sleeping and a Brahma Kumari putting knowledge in one ear and from another ear is going out? It's there in our course book. So very senior sister of our institution was explaining this knowledge to the teachers. And saying to that, telling that teachers, look at this picture. What do you see? Teachers said, what is there? We explain this picture every day to students. A Brahma Kumari is there. She is putting knowledge into the ear of Kumbhakarna and it is going out of the other ear. But the teacher said, the senior sister said, look carefully. This Kumbhakarna is carrying a badge. So that Kumbhakarna is, there's a Brahmin who is sleeping. So it's a special picture which was made. A Kumbhakarna with a badge. Because Brahmins themselves are sleeping at present. They are sleeping in the sleep of ignorance. They are sleeping in this world is sleeping in the sleep of ignorance. Brahmins are sleeping in the sleep of forgetfulness, vismriti. Brahmins are sleeping in the sleep of carelessness or laziness. Or there is a vast, uninterrupted digital sleep which is going on at present. Digital sleep. Or sleep of mistakes. So they do various methods to wake up that Kumbhakarna. The first thing they do is they blow conch shells, sound, trumpets into his ears, but he doesn't get up. And then they come and they try to wake him by putting light on his face. If suppose somebody is sleeping, light if flashed, that person may get up. So that is the second method they try, to put some light, but it doesn't work. And then they try to poke him with weapons, but it doesn't work. And then try to move him, but it also doesn't work. They try various methods to wake up this person who is sleeping, and only one method is successful. What is that? Food. It is the smell. It is the fragrance. So when ultimately everything fails, they just keep big bowls of food and that fragrance, and he wakes up. So here also the divine lover is sleeping, and we also need few things to wake him up. And the first thing to wake him up is sound, trumpet of knowledge. Trumpet of knowledge. And that's why it's very important that whatever Murli comes, we churn that Murli deeply. We try to understand the deeper connotations and meanings of that meaning of each and every line, what Baba is saying, what he is really trying to say through that Murli. Murli itself is an ocean, you know. God is ocean. His Murli is also an ocean. One must get drowned in that ocean. There was Swami Vivekananda in India, and his master had asked him once, see Narendra, his name was Narendranath, this is a cup of tea, this is a cup of tea, and this is ant. Now, would you like to become like an ant who would move along the brim of the cup? Or would you like to become an ant who would get drowned in that cup of tea? And the Narendranath said, I would like to become like the ant who would like to move around the brim because I fear getting drowned. And the master said, fear not. This is the ocean of eternity. This is the ocean of God's love. And so get drowned. You will never get drowned in that ocean really. You will become eternal. You will never die. You will become eternal. So this Murli itself is an ocean. With different words and lines are the waves of this ocean. So get drowned. Churn deeply. Try to understand each and every line, point deeply. And for that you need silence and solitude. These are the two things. Without these two things, you cannot achieve. You cannot understand what God is saying. Otherwise, the speaker is here and audience is here. Sitting here, you will catch the words, not the feelings and not the bhav with which he is speaking. Your stage, if he is here, you have to rise to this level so that you can understand what he is saying. So the first thing is trumpet of knowledge. To wake up the inside Kumbhakarna who is sleeping, this Kumbhakarna of divine lover, who is within. The second thing which is needed in order to wake up is the, as I said, for that Kumbhakarna, light was needed. Light should be flashed and light of understanding is needed. The deeper the understanding, the more newer meanings of this same Murli will come to us. For example, in medical college, when the students enter the medical college first year, they would read a medical book. For example, they are reading about heart attack. And second year, they again read about heart attack. Third year, they again read about heart attack. But till that time, they have not seen the patients. They are just reading because they want to pass. Their only aim is which is most important question which would be asked. And they should not miss. And then once they pass that, they start seeing, they have internship. So they start seeing patients. And then they try to correlate few things. They finish the internship and then they go for PG. Again in the post-graduation, they read the same thing. But now they read research papers, recent advances. After they finish that, then they begin their practice. And now again they read the same thing, what they read before. And now they are into practice for 10 years. And now they are into practice for 30 years. Now, when they enter the medical college, that time what they read, and now they are reading the same thing, there is a vast difference in understanding. In the similar manner. Here also, in the spiritual college, in the spiritual class, when we entered this college, we read one Murli. Okay. And then after 1 year, we again read that Murli. Then after few years, we again read. And now we have many bitter, sweet experiences of life also. Also in the Brahmin family, some very bitter experiences. And now the understanding has changed. So one must always try to go in depth in order to understand the same thing, but in a newer light. So, this second thing which is needed is this light of understanding. The third is, as I said, poking. That Kumbhakarna was poked. So here a poking with vairag is needed. Without that we will not wake up. Some disinterest for this world. The world has lost its glory. Let's start a brand new story. That experience should come. You know, when that Mahatma Buddha, when he left his family and in the middle of the night he went to take the life of renunciation, the charioteer who was there with him, he said, at least look back once. See back. See the beautiful palace. See your wife, your children, everything. You as an emperor, can't you see back? Just see once before you take up this final decision to give up the world. And Mahatma Buddha said, I see only flames of fire. I see only flames of fire. When one has got such unlimited disinterest for this world, then only the divine love takes birth. Otherwise, one, the soul who is attached to this world, he cannot hope to love God. Love of God is such a higher thing. You cannot serve two masters, world and God. Inside, there has to be a subtle, deep vairag, disinterest for this world. I don't want anything of this world. I want everything of that world, which is Baba's, which is God's, what He is giving, His attendants and His everything. Nothing of this world. So, some poking with vairag. And then for moving that Kumbhakarna, they try to move him. You know, here, there, here, there. So that moving is seva. Loving Baba means loving His seva. What is the definition of love for Baba? Anybody? To love Baba means to love what? Anybody? To love Baba means to love what? Just to keep on chanting Baba, 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 Baba. Is that the love of God? Jesus Christ says, not everyone who cometh and saith, Lord, Lord, but he that doeth the will of my Father shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Simply chanting his name is not love of God. To love Baba means to love his Murli. To love Baba means to love his Yoga, Raj Yoga. To love Baba means to love his Seva, his service. To love Baba means to love this Brahmin family. To love Baba means to love this Yajna, this sacrificial fire. To love Baba means to love Madhuban. To love Baba means to love center. To love Baba means to love those instrument souls. To love Baba means to love his home. To love Baba means to love his kingdom. So love has got, to love Baba means to love Srimat. Love has got so many definitions. One cannot say that, I love Baba but I don't like this family. These are dangerous people. I love to keep away from them. They are highly non-cooperative. Because they don't cooperate because they feel that we don't want to create new karmic bondage. Let him remain sick. Why should we serve him? Because if we serve, then karmic bondage would be created. So they feel that, they say that we don't love this family. For example, a woman is there and a neighbor comes to her and she says, you are very good, you are very beautiful, I love you, but your son, he is nuisance. Just get rid of him. Will this woman love that woman? Her neighbor? Never. So we go to Baba and Baba, we love you too much. But keep me away from your family. I don't want them. Will he love us? So love of Baba means love for Brahmin family. Love for Baba means love Madhuban. Love for Baba means love center. Love for Baba means love the instrument souls. Love for Baba means love his Srimat. Love his Gyan. Love whatever he has taught. That is the real love for Baba. Otherwise it's no real love. So, to wake up that internal, intrinsic, sleeping lover, we need service also. Engage yourself in his service, automatically love of God would get created. Because serving his yajna is not an ordinary thing. It's a great thing. To get drowned in his service, there's a exquisite joy in that service also. By serving him, automatically mood changes. You know, in Gyan Sarovar earlier, Dadi, Manorindra used to be here. Before Nirmala Didi, Manorindra Dadi was there. And if suppose any teacher, sister or anybody would get depressed and would come to her, she would say, go and give 7-day course. Start giving course. Start giving knowledge and your depression will go away. In serving others, we serve ourselves. So to wake up, we need some moving. And then for waking up, we need some jerks also. You know, when somebody doesn't wake up, what you have to do is give jerk. The jerk of smriti or awareness. Bring back that awareness. Who I am. What I am, what I have to do, what I am doing here, bring that awareness. And even if somebody doesn't wake up, you need water. What you do is, you pour water on him, then he wakes up. So you need the water of divine love to wake up the lover who is sleeping within. So water of divine love. And when everything fails, how that Kumbhakarna got up? With the fragrance of food. So here you need the fragrance of purity. Purity is the very nature of soul. Extreme purity. Spotless purity. A purity where there is not even a trace of vicious or sensual desires. Such purity where you feel those vibrations of purity, where your every word is filled with vibration of purity, where your every thought, your every fantasy, your every imagination, your every relationship with others, they are filled with purity. such purity. So these are few things which are needed to wake up the internal sleeping giant. So let us wake that divine lover which is within us. Om Shanti. Any questions? I was told to stop at 12.
I'm sure there's a lot more that he wanted to tell us, but limitation of time. And questions are always there, burning.
One thing I was reading this morning.
Yes.
Don't ask. Ask your questions to God, not to social media. Ask your questions to God, not to social media. Somebody sent a message. Okay.
So you are the conduit, so our questions to God will go through. So, does anybody have a question? Burning? Yes, can you come here please?
Om Shanti. I want to, what struck me is that you always very sharp, very precise in each track, the key points from Muli. Can you share how do you do it?
Suppose I have to churn any Murli, the first thing I do is to read it once. Okay. The second is I reread it after an interval of few hours. First I will read it in the morning, then I will read it in the evening, and then I will read it at third time. And all these readings take place in the vicinity of nature. I never read in the closed room. I never read any hard copy. I read everything, most of the things online. And my way of reading is to read one line and to stop and think, what is it? Sometimes I take 1 hour to just read few lines. And I love to read sitting in mountains, near lakes or greenery, hearing the chirping of the birds, or looking at sky, stars, the moon, feeling the fresh air around. So I read, I stop, I think, I reflect. So this is done multiple times, and suppose I have to give a class on it, and then many times it has happened that I entered into an absolutely bodiless stage, and in that bodiless stage I leave the Murli down and move across the universe, and whatever other people of the world have said about the same point, suddenly that comes to my mind, and I try to correlate, and multiple correlations take place on their own, and then whatever that comes out is the result. So it's not just one reading, but it's more of churning, trying to understand the meaning of even single word or sentence, and then going to Baba and trying to ask him directly, what exactly do you mean? This is said by you 40 years back and I am sitting here in this jet age. How do I understand and how do I correlate? And one more thing, what I share with Baba, that I am going to speak this in front of few souls. Please let me speak only those things which they want. Nothing of mine should get mixed. And that should come out from my mouth which would hit them, and that would give them the solution to their some long-standing chronic problem. That's how I do it.
Well, amazing answer. I have a question. In all your talks, or most of your talks, you talk about these saints.
About?
These saints, like Indian saints or other saints, or Saint Francis of Assisi, how they were lost in love, how they were wandering, and they didn't have, they didn't think about the world, anything like that. We are not that. We are here, right here, in this age. We have, sometimes I find even in service, there's so many duties, responsibilities, somewhere Baba is, just goes away. We say Baba is with us for 1 minute and then he goes away. To be like these saints, you know, to be like these saints, because when I listen to these classes, I feel that urge, to be like these saints, that extreme love that they had, that intensity that they had no duty or responsibility. They all they had to do is sing, dance, go around, and like whatever. But, of course, there was a lot of renunciation, complete renunciation, broke all social norms. Do you suggest we read about them little bit?
I don't
get
suggest.
You don't suggest.
I don't suggest.
So,
actually, whatever I read, that was before coming in Gyan. Because that was intense thirst and intense quest to know the things. And it is not even to, it was not just to know them. Because if I see back, all those things came to me on their own. I was going and searching and searching and searching, and things were coming to me. I was not after them. They were coming unto me. And they were narrating that this is this, this is this, this is this, this is this. And ultimately I reached. So your question is, one thing I will tell about all those who are in this yajna and those who are outside of this yajna. These saints, they had only three subjects. We have four subjects. They had their knowledge, jnana, and they had yoga, whatever yoga they were doing, and they had those dharana, imbibing few principles or some virtues. They did not have the subject of service. They did not have that subject of service the way we have. In fact, sometimes I feel that service has diluted our tapasya. Because we have to do service. We have to do so many things. So we cannot become, afford to become like him, like them, those who give up the world and they just do only sadhana, only tapasya, nothing else. In fact, if we do that, probably we will reach a very higher platform suddenly. For some time, even Dadi Prakashmani had done that for 1 month, and she said, "Stop everything, all Madhuban Nivasis, don't do anything." I think it was 91 or something, when there was a tapasya varsh year. Dadi had said, "Stop everything, all Madhuban Nivasis, they have to just do tapasya, nothing else." Even those experiments were done. But you know, those saints were of the past. In that phase, in that period of time, though they had intense love for God, but they did not realize God, really. God has come now. And we have realized Him. And we have understood Him. So what He has told us, first subject, second subject, third subject is important, but fourth is also important. And one more thing, in fact, in one way they were karma sannyasis, they had given up the outside duties. But here, if suppose we look at the life of one center sister, she has to look after so many things. Just look after, look at the life of any brother. He has to concentrate on Amrit Vela, his Murli, also he has to do a job throughout the day. So we can't become like them. But then, our vairagya, our disinterest should be internal. Doing everything outside and yet getting detached immediately. This is what is needed. For example, you go for doing some service, you do it with all your heart, your all your mind and all your soul, but the moment you finish it, you come out as if nothing is you have done. That is the higher stage of perfection, of balance. In my own life, there was always a struggle, medical study and spiritual study. Medical study and spiritual study, two things. Always at loggerheads with each other. Even in the path of bhakti, There were again spiritual study, medical study. Spiritual study, medical study. I was always wondering what to do. But now I don't see that conflict. Medical thing is going on and spiritual thing is also going on. So, ours is a life of balance. There, they did not have any balance. There was only spirituality, that's it. Even though they used to follow all the principles of celibacy and everything, as Baba says in Murli, they did not teach their followers to follow the same thing. So, ours is a greater task, higher task. As per the Srimad, what we have to do is continue following the Srimad, continue creating and striking a balance of spirituality and the material life. Or rather, it is spiritualizing everything which is material. In today's Murli, whilst talking with Kumars, Baba said, whatever laukik you are doing, convert it into alaukik. Whatever laukik you do, feel this is alaukik. Don't think this is a material service. If suppose somebody is cleaning the bathroom, this is not just cleaning that bathroom. It is something very, very spiritual service. So every smaller task should get spiritualized, sublimated. So spiritualization of the material things. This is our knowledge.
Thank you. Anyone?
Anybody from brothers?
Brothers? Seem satisfied. Where is that longing, intensity, desire?
Actually, all the questions, the answers to all the questions are within us. And no answer that is coming from outside is ever going to satisfy us. All answers are within us. All answers are in the subconscious mind. And all answers you will get in the deeper stages of yoga. You don't have to ask anybody really in one way. The more you intensify your yoga, the more you intensify the divine love, all answers would get descended from above. You will receive those answers. The disciples of Jesus Christ, they come to him and he says to them, go and give my message to everyone. The disciples says, we are not speakers. We don't know how to speak. We don't know how to talk. What we will give? And people are already opposed to you. And he says to them, go. It shall be given unto you at that hour. It shall be given unto you at that hour. What to do and what not to do. What to speak and what not to speak. So when you are such intrinsically, intimately connected with Baba, the answers will come to you. How many answers we are going to think? I don't know what conditions are going to come throughout the day. What maya, what upheaval, what karmic account, what person who will come to me and oppose me throughout the day, I have no idea. And I don't know, I cannot plan what I have to speak. That will come at that moment, at that hour. Only thing is that I have to keep my connection very strong with Baba. And the answer will come. Okay. Om Shanti.